Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to a return of Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am the scorekeeper, and we are coming to you live from the great city, the frontier city of Pomona, California, out here on the eastern edge of Los Angeles County, of the great intellectual, I mean sporting, well, yeah, we're over on the West Coast. We pretty much dominate everything, so we think we're everything. We are here in Southern California, a blistery 43 degrees, and the studios are not set up yet, but I am hidden in my car, in my garage, and actually, it's not too bad, but life is good in the hood. I am the scorekeeper, and I am waiting for my compatriots to join me. It's going to be a blast in a moment, and I got to tell you, life is good in the hood, so they say. I got to tell you, I'm jazzed. I am incredibly jazzed. I'm sending a message to two or three of my possible co-hosts. Hopefully they'll join me in a moment, and they'll get the chat room going. And I got to tell you, it's just absolutely incredible. Bear with me. I got to get my sports language back, and I'm a little afraid of making noise, because even though I'm in my car, in my garage, in my new neighborhood, I'm afraid of waking everyone up. But I did put a call out to Mr. Clark and the big dog and Senor Cuervo. Hopefully they'll be able to activate the chat room and the switchboard, and we'll see. But from there, we're just going to get on, we're going to get going, and we're going to get our groove on, folks. I got to tell you, I have no internet connection, so I'm going to rely on my wife's phone, which I'm calling in on. And I'm going to rely on on my phone for the internet stuff. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, which I sure as hell don't know where to start. But, you know, I'm stalling a little bit. Hopefully my boys will be joining me. I know that there's, you know, I haven't spoken about the Yankees in a while, and I've got to tell you that I am satisfied with what the Yankees have been doing. I'm a little unhappy that Robbie Cano left. But for the sum of money, you know, congratulations, Robbie. I know you wanted $310 million. The Yankees were giving you $170. Dude, someone paid you $240. Wow. Merry Christmas, pal. Or as they say from where you're from, Feliz Navidad. Dude, you got money. You didn't get what you wanted, but hey, life is good in the hood, pal. I'm happy for you. I'm not bitter that you left. Like any good player that leaves a team, I really, and you know, one who was liked by the fan base. I don't believe that, you know, most fans can say, oh, good runs, whatever, and really mean it. I have just grown used to the business of baseball since the late 70s. I was alive back then. And I just realized that things happen. I'd rather have Robinson Cano on our team, but, hey, oh, and by the way, the Yankees have done well to add to this team because it needs it. Jacoby Ellsbury, hey, talk about a wet dream, folks. I've been wanting him as a player for some time now. And now that the Yankees get him, great. Did they overpay? Folks, what is overpay in professional sports? Seriously, what is overpay? Relatively speaking, 7 years, $153 million.
I just can't believe it. I just cannot believe it.
And someone is in.
Hi, scorekeeper.
I've got a co-host. Who is it?
Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. How are you doing, my friend?
Impeccable timing, Sonny. I'm like, oh, no, am I getting feedback? I'm screwed.
So, yeah, I just popped in, and I didn't realize if you could see me or not, so I thought I'd throw in something in there to maybe grab up and let you know that I am here, and it's glad that I'm glad to know, scorekeeper, that
I am a Yankee fan.
Yet you're still a Yankee fan. I'm really happy.
Well,
how are you doing this morning? Long time no hear.
It has been a while, Sonny, as I have been telling the audience, for those idiotic enough to join me before you, that we are live, and I'm sitting inside my van, inside my garage, in my new neighborhood. I'm afraid to make noise, but Sonny, surprisingly, for being a detached garage and 43 mother effing degrees, it's okay.
You're in the car?
It's good feel. I'm in the car just to stay a little bit warmer, but the garage is really not too bad. It seems to be insulated for a garage. It's not too bad. And I should have brought the heater from my friend's house where everything was stocked.
Yeah.
I regret it because I looked at it last night and I said, the house is heated. What the hell do I need a heater for? Duh.
Uh-huh.
But it is the future home of NDB Media. And to answer your question, Mr. Clark, it is going to be right here. And, oh, by the way, Sonny, if you did log in, because you've let yourself in, if you want to open up the chat room for all the wayward souls, by all means, I'm going to ask
already
you to
run
that.
Okay.
Oh, you are the man.
Yep.
Sonny, I give you a wet,
and not
a big
only...
wet... Go ahead.
Thanks for stopping there. I appreciate it, but guess who we got here? Scott, the good old boy himself.
Just a good old boy.
It's Tarzan.
Never mean it no harm.
Good morning, Tarzan.
Beats all you never saw.
Good morning, guys.
Trouble with the law since the day they were born.
Good morning, Brian. Guys, there's no way I could have done this program without being in my van because I'm going to be making way too much noise. Brian, Sonny.
We missed you, baby. We missed you, buddy. It's not been the same old Saturdays without you.
Well, guys, I miss it, but I want to thank everyone that has covered for us when they've been able to, especially Senator Clark. And I woke up this morning at 5:30. And then I looked at my phone and it said 43 degrees. I'm like, oh, man, I don't have to go outside to know it's as cold as a witch's. Beep, beep. I'm like, okay. Should I be a pussy and just tell Sonny, I'm not awake. I can't do the program. And I said, well, wait a minute. If I call him or send him a message, come on. Talk about being an even bigger pussy. So I just got the jacket, got my gloves. And I said, how cold can it be? And it wouldn't be the first time I do a program on the outside, so I went out to the garage. Well, actually, first when I walked outside, I knew it was 43 degrees, and I had my gloves on and everything. I said, hey, that's not too bad. But I'll be damned if I'm going to do it from outside. So I went to the garage. I'm serious. And it's not bad in here. I've actually, just to give you guys an idea, being in the van, in the garage, I've removed my jacket, and it's just a tad cool. Kind of like when you walk into a house and you barely begin to feel the air conditioning. That's what it feels like.
Ah. Well.
Yeah.
I hope you don't get a cold by being out there, but yeah.
Oh, no. No, I don't think so. And I think I went into too much explanation for that. But I have my coffee. No sugar! Oh, my God!
Gotta get that bitterness off the top of it.
But you know what? I'm gonna find out if I like coffee or not, Sonny.
I don't like coffee without. I know I don't like it without cream and sugar. That it'd be back like when I was a kid, going, "Ugh, that's horrible." But no, cream and sugar has made it. So.
I do have the cream, but it looks like I may not even have one packet of sugar because of our move. I just don't know where the sugar is. And, But anyway, gentlemen, we've got Tarvino. We've got Mr. Clark running the switchboard and the chat room. And just to give you guys a hint of where we are, of course, I'm in Southern California. I'm now in the frontier city of Pomona. The Sonny Clark is where? And Brian, let us know, please.
Well, this is Brian. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. The best state in the world.
Sonny, where are you?
I'm in my office in Dallas, Texas. Yeah, so we're and if Cuervo calls, he will be in Chicago. So we'll be out cross country, all over the place.
Well, to Yeah, the truth. I think we are cross country, but I never thought we would all be a bunch of Southern kids. I always look at Sonny as being a Southern kid and definitely Cuervo, but by definition, I'm a Southern kid too.
Well, really, we're like transplant Southerns, you know, in reality. I'm from Chicago, of course, so is Cuervo, Chicago area. And where are you from, Tarvin?
Alabama.
Alabama, a little bit more north than where he's at. So, Harry, 205.
Wait a minute, a little bit north of where he's at. Wait a minute, Atlanta, Georgia, relatively speaking, to Alabama. I don't know, Sonny. We would probably only be talking. We'd only be talking about 100 miles either way, relatively speaking. But as opposed to Cuervo and you, it's like 1,000 or. Well, from Dallas to Chicago, how many miles is it?
All I know is that if I drove it, it's 15 hours. If it's a family drive, it's 20. So, you know, there you go.
And ladies and gentlemen, we clearly understand what that means. But I want to turn it over to my compatriots right here, this program, so we can move forward. I'm a little disconcerted because as I mentioned before, Sonny came live. I'm using, for what it's worth, Sonny, that's my wife's phone, the one that called in. And I have my phone that has all my apps, so I figured I'd go off the news off of that. So if you guys have anything you want to talk about, let's move forward. If not, I'm going to start searching. I was talking about the Yankees. Thank you for listening, Sonny. As you know, I'll give my last thoughts on that real quick. But, guys, like I said, team loses a fan favorite. It's going to bug you. And it's done. But Robbie Cano, I am a realist. I know you wanted more. You felt you deserved it. Good for you, dude. $240 million. How can anyone be mad at a player, guys? And maybe I'm going to direct that to my compatriots now. It is ridiculous the amount of monies that are being paid. But, guys, we are in America where everyone wants to do the best they can. And someone, came to this guy and said, dude, we want you. Come here, 10 years, $240 million. Sign, please.
Like you said, we've talked about it on this show, Scorekeeper, that you know you can't fault a guy for going out and getting all the money that he can get. I mean, this is his only shot. And get this is all guaranteed bucks, too, by the way. All he has to do is show up and on the first game and get paid. So that's a good thing for Robbie Cano. But at the same time, when you think about Robinson Cano, you think about pinstripes. You know, this guy got the money because he was in the pinstripes, which is something that's a little bit abnormal if you think about it, because normally they're getting the money from the pinstripes. So it's like a new world out there in Major League Baseball, Tarvin, that has really brought awareness to, wow, when you pay for players and you get the good players, you'll figure out chemistry sooner or later. And you might, if you sign a Robinson Cano, you might already be in contention and you haven't even hit the field for spring training.
Yeah, honestly, guys, and I think this is a bad move for Cano. I mean, he got rich, trust me. You can't hate him just like that, but this is for Seattle. I mean, paying this kind of money for Robinson Cano, and I'm 30 years old now, 31, like that. Yeah, I just think to me, guys, anytime if you can't look back in history and look at these large contracts, how the players do after it, then you're stupid. Seattle just made a stupid move, guys. Imagine what they could have gotten for that money to help build their team up. Robinson Cano is not going to win them a championship. He may get some fans in the stands, but they're not going to win a championship. So it showed me that he wanted more money than he did wanting to win a championship, really.
Yeah. When you talk that, though, at the same time, since when has the Seattle Mariners done anything that makes any sense when it comes to baseball? This team, whenever it gets in contention, it usually trades off some of their people that either, A, get them there, or they start getting rid of the farm system. That's one of the problems. It's almost like, when I think Seattle, I think Kansas City, too. Everybody talks about, oh, they're the next big thing. It's the next team that's going to come along and be the guy. But where the hell have they been? I mean, that's all we've been talking about for the, since we've been doing our show back in February 2009. Oh, Seattle's going to make the move. So is Kansas City. They haven't been around at all in reality when you think about they're actually playing. They start off good, and then they taper off right about, of course, all-star season, and boom, there you go. They get out of contention, and no one's talking about them. And I don't expect anything different even with Robinson Cano in the lineup for the Seattle Mariners, their scorekeeper.
You're right, Sonny, and it was a great setup. I don't know if Brian knows this, but I want to throw a teaser. I want the announcement. There was a reason why I suffered through the bitter cold, frost, blizzardy conditions to be out here today, because we had to do the setup. Hey, Sonny, I put my cup of Joe on the dash of my car, and the windshield has like a warm spot. It looks like a weather pattern.
Yep, I see it. Yep, I know that one.
But, ladies and gentlemen, Sonny Clark has been on air just a little bit after us. He may have started his sports program before us. I don't know. We'll do the math right now. But Sonny Clark and Sports Talk with the Guys. Okay, but we're almost hand in hand. But Mr. Clark is about to reach a milestone. And Sonny, you have the floor, my brother and my love. Tell everyone what's going to happen in less than 2 hours, baby.
Well, it is going to be the 8th, and I lied, and I didn't mean to lie because it was a last-minute thing. It's going to be our 801st show because I got called to call a basketball game last night for the Rowlett Eagles, so that was like last-minute thing, so it's actually our 801st show later on today. So we actually had our 800th last night, but it was a play call for the Rowlett Eagles basketball team. So, but in reality, it is. It's a long milestone. We got a couple of files that I'm all set up for and ready to go at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I get the opportunity while I was looking through some of the files and I listened to the show. And, I'm not saying necessarily it's good, but it's definitely better than what it was back on February 2009. It's drastically improved, whether it be the scorekeeper, whether it be Cuervo, whether it be Tarvin, or anybody else that's joined in that saved me. So we're doing pretty good there on the Couch Potato Sports Show, 800th show scheduled at 10 a.m. a little bit later, right after this show.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, and I'm sorry to cut Brian off. I should have let him continue, but let me put this thought out here. I remember you and I, during the summer, talking about doing replay episodes, and I remember you weren't feeling very well, and I wasn't feeling very well, so I know for a fact, and I apologize, folks, this is going to be a cheat. One of the episodes that was played during a week was a replay, so it was not a live, it was in fact a replay of a prior episode. So Sonny Clark, yes, this is 801, but by God, Bigora, it is actually your 800 live, is it not?
Well, I only put up a few replays of certain shows, and that would be of football, football games and stuff like that. In reality, if we counted the actual shows that we have done, then it would be about the 800, right at 800, as far as live is concerned. That's why we did it. I did not count the replays on some of the other shows as well. So you're absolutely right. Live shows, this would be the 800th. With the replays of football and some of the other shows and stuff that we have done, we're probably about 825,
830. Oh, so the count is even much higher. So it's there, folks.
As far as live is concerned, yeah.
Yeah, I was just giving a shot to Sonny by saying, no, baby, this is 800. Even though it's 801, it's 800. It's okay. But it's great, guys.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Sonny. Brian, you and I can just stand up in awe that if we continued for a whole year, both you and I, Brian, did our regular programs, we still wouldn't be anywhere near Mr. Clark.
Well, that's not fair to you, because when I first started doing the Couch Potato Sports Show, I was doing it 6 days a week for the first year and a half. So that's not really fair. I mean, I was trying to figure out my cadence and getting going and stuff like that. But in reality, yeah, I was on air quite a bit when we first started.
Well, I'm going to have to tell you this. If I add up every episode on NBD Media, Sonny, I've got to believe I'm somewhere near in the 2,000 or 3,000 range, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't had time to look at yours, but then again, because I never remember any of the logins except for this one because it's automatically set. But, yeah, I mean, geez Louise. I mean, you want to talk about a cornerstone. I mean, when you look at NDB Media and what it has accomplished over the years that it's been on air since 2008, right? So, you know, it's
yes,
cornerstone
sir.
Of what Blog Talk Radio is all about in reality. And so you got to look at those kind of things and look at the longevity of the show and just go, wow, because I don't think there's too many people that have more shows than you do up on Blog Talk Radio right now if you count all the shows that you've done.
But thank you, Sonny, but it goes to all the hosts. And for those, and I've got to put this one out there, for those of you that missed it, we did it again. On Sunday night, we've done what no one else has ever done. If you guys saw Mark Lee and how many Hollywood gifts he had on, no one on Blog Talk Radio has even come close to what we pulled off, and that's just a start. But anyway,
absolutely.
But we have the hardest working man in sports. We have me, the scorekeeper. But then we have the other man who forms the part of this triangle that we couldn't do it without. Because, Sonny, you and I talk about college. We touch on it. But we touch on it like the fact that we're walking through a desert and it's full of cacti, man. We're like, let's get
through this. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
But we have the man of the hour with us that is become the college guru. Not only college.
Absolutely.
But it's obvious what the strong suit is. And you are kicking everyone's butt, Brian. Tell everyone when you are on, please, because you are one of the sides of this triangle.
Well, we are on Weigh-In Sports Talk on Wednesdays and Sundays at 8:30 right now, p.m. Eastern time. That's 5:30 your time, Roger, and what is that, 7:30 your time, Sonny. But I just want to give you both props because, you know, I've done this a couple of years now, and, you know, sometimes I don't feel like doing the show, and maybe it shows. I don't know. Maybe it shows. But when I listen to y'all, every time I listen to Sports Talk with the guys, with that being said, it's just fresh every time and exciting. So I look up to you guys to keep showing me the way here because some days I don't even want to do a show.
Hey,
wow.
You're not the only one. You are not the only
right.
one. You will get up on a Saturday morning and realize, and I've done this before, you get up on Saturday morning at about 6 o'clock and Sports Talk with the Guys starts at 8, and you're just marveling in the silence of what silence is. I mean, it's so wonderful and quiet, and you're like in your own little heaven. And first of all, before you know it, it's 8 o'clock, and then before you know it, you go, God, do I really even want to do this? I mean, you know, I've had that feeling before, but at the same time, you know, that, you know, I've been doing radio for a long period of time. I started out doing radio on a community radio station in Springfield, Illinois. So I know about not wanting to do it and trying to get up there and do it. But by the way, I need to tell you something over there. Tarvin, there you have got 3 indoor football teams over in your area. You need to get on because I don't think not too many of them have radio coverage. You might want to get a hold of some of the indoor football and jump in and start doing the play-by-play if you want to. You know, but I don't know how much you're into that kind of thing because when I saw the indoor football and the teams that are around your area, I was like, I'd be in heaven.
Yeah, and I'm actually, we talked about that before. I'm starting a new job. So once I get settled into that, I really would like to do something like that. That would be a good way to get my name out and actually do something I love, call football.
Yep. Yeah, call football. I called basketball last night just kind of like my preseason to get my cadence back on what it's like to call, you know, basketball more so than football, get back into that rhythm and things like that. But, yeah, it's all about calling football. It's one of the things. But I've actually gone to basketball, baseball, and now football as well. So we're covering three of them. Lord knows if I knew how to call a hockey game, I'd do the same damn thing.
Well, we're going to have to see what we're going to do with that. But, folks, we do have to give you a bit of an apology. We are a bit congratulatory to ourselves, but I think the reality is we just have not been on for a while, and we generally miss each other's company. Fans, oh, I hate saying fans because I don't believe we have fans. We have listeners. I've always said that. We don't have fans of this program because we are all fans of a mutual thing, and that's sports. So for me to say that I have fans, I don't believe that. I have listeners. And listeners, I ask you to bear with us. We're just so happy to be back at this hour. We're getting through it.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like the slow part of the movie. You know, it starts out with a bang, and the movie's got to move forward. It's got to get to where it's been again. And that's where we are. And right now, it's the little letter arrived, and James Bond has his mission, and we're like, let's get to it, folks. And we're going to get to it. You know what's up. Listen to the Cash Potato. Listen to Weigh In Sports. And I got it. And I'm not sure if I'm even giving the actual name on that, Brian. It's Weigh In Sports Talk, correct?
Correct.
Yeah,
close enough.
I've been close enough. But that's like saying ND Media. You know, come on, dude. You know, I get a little frustrated. But anyway, I was talking about the Yankees, folks. I want to go to Sonny, and then I want to go to Brian on some topics. Guys, help me out. I said I do not have internet right now. So take us where you guys want to go. There's an incredible amount of stuff to talk about. Everyone in the chat room and everyone listening to us in the archive, man, I missed you all, guys. I really do. And it really means a lot to see the people that listen to us, the numbers. And we're just thrilled to do this. So like the movie. Damn it, James Bond has his mission. Let's go save the queen.
You bet. Let's keep it within baseball of what you were talking about, Robinson Cano, the big contract and everything else. The Baltimore Orioles right now remain in the market right now for a closer after the team announced that it's backed out of the agreement with Grant Belfour. He was going to be the closer for this team for this upcoming season. The medical concerns and multiple reports have come out that saying that they pulled back that offer to Belfour, and he saved 38 games in the AL West last year for the Oakland Athletics in reality. So that two-year contract that was supposed to be for $15 million pulled back on Friday. So that one's done. Also, Kevin Youkilis will apparently become, from what I'm hearing and from what I'm reading, he is going to continue playing in Japan. It's a one-year contract with the Golden Eagles over, I can't pronounce the city, so I'm not going to say it, for the 2014 season. And according to Youkilis's agent, Joe Bick, he confirmed that deal to Major League Baseball on Friday, calling the move a life experience that was too good to pass up. And 35-year-old, it's kind of like, hey, scorekeeper. Youkilis is Mr. Baseball.
You know, yes, Sonny, I'm not going to argue with that. That guy, when he is healthy, guys, he's fun to watch. And he has a bit of an attitude on him that makes you want to pop him. But that's part of the game, Sonny, and I agree. This guy, apparently, the 34-year-old first baseman and third baseman, you know what? I'll give it to him. Because when this guy is healthy and playing, I think he is Mr. Baseball. He is going to earn a $4 million base salary, and he can earn over $1 million in bonuses, you know, based on walks, the provision not allowed in major league contracts, because baseball in Japan is played a bit differently. You know, he signed a $12 million deal with the Yankees. It was a charitable deal because it bothered him, his back, in mid-April. And then he had an epidural injection. An epidural? Isn't that when you're going to deliver a baby? Oh, wait a minute.
That's what
I
thought.
Yeah, he did. He delivered an egg because the Yankees paid him $12 million to sit on the bench. So, good for him. This is an experience of a lifetime, guys. Think about it. In our realms of our jobs and stuff, it'd be cool if we could work overseas for a year. Huh, Brian? Don't you think, man?
Man, that would be fun.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It'd have to be someplace. I mean, I would like to visit Japan, but to stay any amount of time in Japan, I don't know if Sonny Clark could handle that, I don't think.
Well, Sonny, at least a weekend in Japan with the strip clubs there, Sonny. I heard they're to die for.
Now, I can't claim to know what goes on in a Japanese strip club. So, but maybe you're right. I don't know.
Well, thank God someone mentioned, you know, the porn other than myself. So thank you, Brian, for doing such. Sticking on this poll for a little while, or this straight train of thought. Yeah, Brian, I agree with you. Sonny, now what I understand that they do is they put a person with the American player so that they can adjust. So you're never really alone. And here's the thing. The team pays for your food, so you get whatever you want. You don't have to go for the top ramen or noodles. And if that's racist, screw you, because that's what I have. So, yeah.
I didn't even get it until you said that.
Oh, no, I didn't either.
Yeah. You know, guys, I'm not talking to my co-host being racist. I'm talking about everyone else. Because, you know, the food, Japanese cuisine is delicious. But it's the way how you say it, guys. And I'm just saying, look, if you don't like the noodles or the top ramen or the cup of noodles, you know, hey, you can get Americanized food as well. So I think it would be an awesome experience, at least for a weekend. But Youkilis, dude, I was disappointed that you were hurt with the Yankees this year because I really just wanted to see you play. Again, it's not an issue of the money. Yuk, I hope you do well in Japan because it is fun watching a healthy Kevin Youkilis. It really is.
Yep. He has, you know, You may mention that the guy, you know, got paid for sitting the bench, but did he bring any kind of leadership to the team, though, when you think about it, scorekeeper? I don't know. That's what I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch him every single day, you know, and I don't think you watched him every day, but you kept track of him. What kind of leadership did he bring to the bench, if any? I don't know.
Brian! I mean, will you answer that question? How many games of leadership can you bring when you play 5 games all year? What the hell is up with that? What kind of question is that? Come on. Did you see any leadership in the 5 games he played, Brian?
No, not at all, really.
Okay, Sonny.
Oh, there you go.
Take it back.
Well,
you want to take that question back?
I didn't say he did. I was asking if he contributed that way. I don't freaking know.
guys, Youkilis is one of those. Okay, he's not Przinski because we know that Przinski is an ass to everyone. But people say even though he's a jerk, you'd rather have him on your team because he will stand with you and fight. Yeah, whoever's got him on his team, the catcher Przinski knows that he is a top-notch guy, but he's a jerk otherwise. Youkilis, I'm not saying he is, but he is similar to that in that he's a tough guy, he'll defend you, he'll fight you in as a team, but, you know, he's got that attitude that you really want to pop him in the face, like I said. And in that, when he's on the field, he, you know, as a pitcher, looking over to third base, because I said, remember, guys, I did some pitching in high school and even after that. The job of the first baseman is to watch the dugout on that side. And the job of the third baseman is usually to watch the dugout on his side. When you hit a batter, you should know your flanks are covered. And if I have Kevin Youkilis on my right when I'm pitching, dude, I don't know what's getting past him. And that's leadership. because you know the guy's got your back and he's a team player and he shows up. So in that, Sonny, he's a team player, he is a leader, but if you expect him to be like the leader of the team, I don't know. I don't know if he's ever had that opportunity.
Interesting. I it was just one of my thoughts as we were, you know, covering, you know, talking about him and what you can expect from him, if anything, as far as next season is concerned. He's going to be playing up there over there in Japan. So, you know, it was just one of those thought processes that I had. So, some other baseball news as well, as we're covering a lot. The Twins agreed to a contract with one Kurt Suzuki, not Ichiro Suzuki, but catcher Kurt Suzuki, which, by the way, it's a one-year contract. But according to the reports, it's a $2.75 million contract. The guy hit 232 with 5 homers and 32 RBIs in 94 games for the Nationals and the A's last year. You know, I don't know. If you take a look at this guy, I know who he is. I don't know a lot about him. Right now, the Twins are in need of a catcher in reality, since they traded away Ryan Dumont on Wednesday to your Braves over there, you know, Tarvin. So what are you hearing about this, or what do you think about Suzuki out there?
Man, I haven't honestly followed baseball too much, but the Braves have lost a lot. Just looking at what Atlanta's going to do this next year, but it seems like they always overachieve with what they have. But honestly, Sonny, I can't comment because I don't know.
There you go. Scorekeeper, Suzuki, I know you know who he is or know a little bit about him. What's your take on him?
First off, Brian is being too humble. It's just he has some things going on in his life. Congratulations to the new job, by the way, Brian. I'd love to hear some details about that later. But as far as Suzuki is concerned, guys, he's a good catcher. He's going to be just fine for them. Don't expect too much out of it. His salary is clearly reasonable. You know what? He's going to solidify. I don't know if I want to say solidify, but he's a good pickup. If I had a chance, okay, guys, think about it. On our respective teams, would you pick the guy up? The answer is yes. He's a good player.
Yeah.
And he came inexpensively. I like Suzuki. Congratulations, Twins. That's a smart pickup. And as far as the Braves, yeah, they've been hit hard. I know the Yankees have been raping them, but it's always in the off season because I don't think they did it during the season. So it's payback for kicking their butt during the season. The Braves have lost some significant players, but here's the thing I like about the Braves, guys. The Braves are never going on and on about salary caps. They're never going on and on about being poor. The Braves are a smart team that have been doing it for decades. They constantly, constantly do the minor league stuff, and they build up and they add pieces to their teams. Guys, the Braves are not going to be as powerful as last year, but the Braves, in my humble opinion, are still going to be competitive, and if they get lucky, they still have the juice to be the team in the East to knock a lot of other teams out. The Braves are still good, guys. They are. So that's my humble opinion.
Braves suck. The Braves suck.
Sonny?
I guess I'm going to just respectfully disagree. I agree with Scorekeeper. This team always finds a way, and I say always because it always seems like whenever they're out of it, we're not. If you're forgetting about the Braves, this is a team that will sneak up on you the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season. And,
well,
you know, and sometimes even control it. But what surprises me about the Braves is how well they've done with the retirement after Bobby Cox. I mean, that was the big question when you started talking about the Braves. You know, Bobby Cox, he's going to retire. What's the team going to do? What will be their philosophy? Will they change anything? Guess what? They're still in contention every single year and doing what they do. And, you know, my hat's off to the Braves.
I just get tired of seeing them choking every year in the playoffs.
Well, I think I understand.
Well, you may have heard me laugh, and I'm sorry, when Sonny said, you know, near the last 6 to 8 seasons, the Braves are in it. Well, 2 years ago, it was one of the most gargantuan chokes in the history of baseball. Oh, my God.
Yep.
The Braves, no other. I think they, Brian, was it like, it was like 9 games, was it not, in the middle of September?
Yep. We're
up?
Yeah, if it wasn't for the Boston Red Sox, it would have
been
bad. But, you know, Boston did just as bad as we did, so everybody, the media, focused. Here in Atlanta, they ignore it. The Braves choke there. One morning, they wake up and announce it, and then they never speak about it again. Just get them next year, guys. But, you know, in Boston, they really killed those guys, so it kind of took the focus off Atlanta and put it on Boston.
Well, it's funny you said that, Brian, because we did cover that. We said, my God, this choke by the Braves was one of the most incredible chokes ever. But, yeah, Boston was like half a game better than that in the choke column.
Oh, I understand, but they are always in contention, though, really, guys. I mean, at the end of the season, now they may choke it away. I don't want to, you know, discredit that. That's a very valid point. But towards the end of the year, we're always talking about whether or not the Braves will either A, make the playoffs or make the run, or choke it out. At least you're talking about the Braves at the end of the season, unlike some of the other teams. I mean, all you got to do is look at the Chicago Cubs and go, gosh, we would love to talk about them, you know, at the beginning of October, and it just doesn't happen.
Well, you know, Sonny, as far as that goes, I think Brian can help me out on this one. The Braves have really been always on the cusp for such a long time now that the fan base has become almost blasé about it. I remember not too long ago when they made the playoffs, the first round or whatever, the seats were not sold out. And that was big.
Right.
Because the Braves were making the playoffs, but the fans were like, they're in it again. And it was a shock that they were having some attendance issues. Was that the case this time around, Brian? Do you remember anything about that?
Yeah, I do. And here it is about the South, guys. It's about football. I mean, and that's really true. In baseball, you have fair weather fans. If the Braves are good, everybody goes to the game. If the Braves suck, nobody goes. So there's no loyal fan base in the Atlanta area, I'm just telling you. I'm here to tell you, if your team's good, they'll support you. If you suck, they won't even watch you. So I'm not surprised at all, because all the fans realize that, oh, Braves are in the playoffs again, something they've been like 20 years in a row, but they always choke. And it's just one World Series, and out of all of those playoff appearances and division titles, I mean, that's very disappointing.
Well, it's disappointing as a fan. There's no question about that. But when you're talking about news and everything and talking about standings here, you can't count them out. Cuervo in the chat room says, what's up, guys? So Cuervo giving us a listen. Don't know if he's going to give us a call. If and when he does, I'll bring him up online. So some other things that are going on. By the way, just to let people know, and if you are a Yankee fan, I want to know what you think about Carlos Beltran. He signs a what was the situation? Back in 2004, he almost signed a 7-year deal for, what was it, $120 million scorekeeper in reality. Now they go ahead and they grab him up this year. So the question is, after playing in St. Louis for 2 years on a $26 million contract, his new deal will pay him $45 million. So that question that I have to ask you, Cuervo, or scorekeeper, what do you think about Carlos Beltran playing for your pinstripe Yankees?
Sonny, I like Carlos Beltran. I really do. Let's go back to the big New York Met deal when he signed with them 7 years after an incredible playoff run. I believe it was in 2004. When Houston, oh, my God, they were so close, so close.
Absolutely.
And his playoff run by with Houston was unbelievable. And the guy was smart. He parlayed that to a massive deal. He was with the Mets.
Yep.
And I believe, all in all, the Mets did appreciate having him on. You know, of course, he got hurt a few times.
You
know, I think he had an average putout. for the length of the deal. But I'm now happy they have him. A three-year deal is good. He's on the older side. I don't think they should have gone three, but here's the thing. There was a demand for him, and everyone wanted Carlos Beltran because at his age, he is still doing very well.
Absolutely.
A three-year deal for a man that old is going to come back and bite them too. Guys, he was in his prime in 2004. Well, wait, this is 10 years later.
Yep.
A three-year deal was a bit much, but hey, you know what? It just goes to show you the Yankees don't give a damn. They wanted their guy, and they went the extra year. There's a lesson there, Robinson Cano. Why is it that this guy got the extra year and you didn't? I wonder why. Oh, wait a minute. Is it because this man at his age still hustles and he still busts his behind? Who can accuse Carlos Beltran? Yeah. Who can accuse Carlos Beltran of jakiness or even not running out of ground ball? Guys, Carlos Beltran is older, but this is a guy you want on your team. This guy hustles, and he's fun to watch. And there might be a lesson there, Robinson, but it's okay, pal. $240 million. What do you care what the scorekeeper says?
Exactly. But wait, the only thing that worries me about Beltran is after he signs the contract, I expect nothing from him this year. This upcoming season, I think we'll get an average Carlos Beltran. And the second year, he might get a little better. And then the third year, if he's going to decide to play for a contract, that's when he'll play. I'm not expecting a lot from Carlos Beltran for the Yankees, even though obviously they are. So I don't know. When I take a look at it and I ask myself the question, is the guy going to be worth the money that he's going to be making? I say no. I think it's a good pickup. I think they overpaid for him, in my personal opinion. Shoot it over to Tarvin.
Well, they did, Sonny. I have to agree with you 100%. And I don't expect anything out of him either. I mean, this is it for him. He got his money. He got his contract. I mean, he's going to have some good games. But look at the Yankees, Roger. And I'm not putting them down, but, man, they got old fast. And they're not doing themselves any favors by adding another old veteran to the lineup, really.
Yeah, and, guys, to clarify it, Beltran's – guys, I hope my comment didn't come across as, you know, trying to suck up to him. He's old.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And he has issues. He does. You know, his knees. Look, the guy is going to turn 37 in April. And, you know, he's joining his sixth team. And the Yankees, now, here's the thing, guys. They've got, and this is a beautiful comment, by the way, Brian. They've got six outfielders now. Jacoby Ellsbury, Brett Gardner, Alfonso Soriano, Ichiro, and Vernon Wells, among the others. And I don't think any of them could ever, ever be mistaken with a spring chicken. So they did not do themselves, you know, a good one on that. But I'm not expecting him to be, anything like that. I'm expecting him to show up, play ball, bring what he brings. And what is the definition of good? I don't know. I don't expect him to do well for the 3 years. I expect to get two decent years out of him, honestly. But the third year, he's going to be 40. are we going to get out of him? Well, wait, he's going to be 37, 38, 39. This is his last deal, guys. This is his last deal. And, he's going to go out okay. But the third year, I expect absolutely nothing out of him. So I'm just hoping we get 2 years. But that's the market, boys. That's the way it works. $45 million to be so blessed. Wow. $10 million a year, guys. I don't begrudge the player. Guys, Brian, I don't know how old you are, but if someone came to you and said, I want to pay you $5 million a year for the next 3 years, I think you're overpaid.
I would go, and I wouldn't care what you thought.
Yeah, exactly, right. And that's the way it should be. It, you know, when you're looking at you, say what you want. I mean, you know, baseball players and everything else, and any kind of athlete. Say take away the fact that they're famous, they still got to look out for number one. The hell about, no offense, you guys are not number one in their lives. The fans and everything at the minimum is probably number 10 on their list of things to worry about. And one of them, worrying about number one. You're exactly right. So, but when you talk age, you know, the Diamondbacks, they come to term with Eric Chavez. I mean, 1 year contract, 30, talk about old, 36-year-old Eric Chavez. Yes, the guy that started off with the Oakland A's. And the Diamondbacks also, they go ahead and announce Friday that the team has come to terms with Brad Ziegler on a 2-year contract, and that's a club option for 2016. And this guy is a good bullpen dude. I mean, I keep track with the Diamondbacks, of course, coming off 2013. He only had 13 games, but when you take a look, he led the National League with 78 appearances and posted the 2.22 ERA. The Diamondbacks, they needed some help in the bullpen. They go out and they grab him up and, see what you want. I don't know. The Diamondbacks are a team that I go back to Kirk Gibson, their scorekeeper. Is this the guy? And frankly, maybe didn't they just get rid of him? Did they just fire him and I missed that news?
Sonny, I may have missed it. I really may have.
I'm going to look right now.
Yeah.
Because I think he needed to be fired. Not that he was any kind of wonderful, but let's see here. He's still the manager, at least according to the website I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, he still is. And look, guys, Kirk Gibson fits in just fine with the modern ball player. I really thought that Kirk Gibson would not be a good manager. It's not a shot against him. It's just I remember seeing this guy on a fairly regular basis. I thought he was a player first and foremost. And he had, he had a dime in his head. And I didn't think he'd be a good manager. But the reality is, because he has a dime in his head, he's able to get along with all these kids that have dimes in their heads, too. They're airheads. So he gets along with these guys. Because Gibson was a different type of player that I don't think he could tolerate the modern-day ball player. And you know what?
Yeah.
It's good. I think the idiot, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt he's an idiot as a manager. Kirk, just shut the hell up, dude. Play ball. But, guys, if I may go back to a moment, and this is directed at my compatriots, we're talking so much about money today. Talking about Robinson Cano, we're talking about Carlos Beltran, and at least my point is we're not talking about blaming the player. This is when I will blame the player. I will blame Robinson Cano because he said, I get no respect. Yankees no respect me. Or he says, los Yankees no me respetaron los hijos de su mendiga puta madre porque no me ofrecieron el dinero que quería. So long story short, bunch of assholes because he didn't get respect. And how many times have we heard that from players? I got disrespected. Like, dude, shut up and play the ball. You're going to get the money that you deserve. Not an issue of respect.
Yep.
And when players go on a tirade that I was disrespected, I go back to Allen Iverson. Practice?
Yep.
Practice? It's only practice. And at the end of his career, he was one of the guys complaining about being disrespected. Remember that, guys?
Yep. I agree. And in as soon as they played the respect card, I shut them out. I don't even care what they think. As a matter of fact, they become the enemy of the state. I mean, enemy of Sonny. I hate that, and it drives me nuts because I guess I'm a realist. I realize they're playing a sport for a living, and I have no, I'll shoot the respect back to them. I have no respect for a player that says that he's not getting respected, so the hell with them.
Hey, Brian, did you get scared by what we just heard from Sonny? Did you kind of, like, tremble in your pants?
Not really.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe you missed it.
I'm listening, though. I'm listening, but maybe I didn't hear it.
Yeah. I heard instead of the HOF, which is the Hall of Fame, we now have the HOS. The Hate of Sunny. Oh, my God.
I'm tired of the prima donna, the divas out there that think they're entitled to something. If you want respect, shut your damn mouth and go earn it. That's just all I say.
How about just shut your mouth and play the game, and then that respect will come to you when you're done playing. I don't think that they, quote unquote, deserve any respect at all until they're done playing. I believe that. I'm sorry. I mean, if you don't think you're getting your money's worth, that's something that you're going to have to deal with. If you're going to get
bullshit.
The money that you want, someone's going to pay it. If not, then you're disrespected. I mean, you know, say what you – how many people were going to pay Robinson Cano the money that he was going to pay? There was only, what, two, maybe three teams that would even come up with even close to that kind of money to sign that guy?
Well, guys, I want to throw that one out to Brian to see how many people were really going to actually – oh, I just killed a fly. You're dead. Anyway, poor fly. He was up on the top of the roof of the van. Oh, no, I didn't get him. Now he's near my coffee. Uh-oh, I better get him now. Anyway, guys, Robinson Cano was not going to get the money because he doesn't hustle. He doesn't put it all the way through. Granted, he makes the game look easy, but there were a lot of teams that really felt he was overpaid and that he shouldn't be paid what he wanted. So he got the respect that his level brings. $240 million. Who else was going to pay for him, guys? The Yankees in Seattle. The Angels, I think they wanted him, but they weren't going to pay it.
Oh,
so, but,
they
know,
couldn't afford it. I mean, come
well,
on. How many?
For Pujols.
Yeah, I mean, Pujols and Hamilton and a cast of other people that they've completely overpaid for that have no chemistry. And how about this? They don't care because guess what? Guaranteed money.
Yeah, and gentlemen, by the way, please, please don't tell me they can't afford it. I'll tell you why. A lot of teams have been signing huge television deals on their own. Angels, you know, a year, 2 years ago. They've already spent their money, and they're still going to make a gargantuan profit. We know that. They just signed a national television deal that made all these other teams richer, such as the Mariners. The Mariners all of a sudden have money. So the Angels already signed their logo contract and now have the national money. You're going to tell me that they can't afford it?
No. Maybe I should have said they may not want to afford it, I guess, is probably the better way of saying that. They don't want to afford that. And you can't blame them. because their salaries that they're paying players to get mediocre performances, you can just expect that for the next big signee that's going to be heading into an Angel uniform, and that's the sad thing about it.
Hey, you know what? I'm glad that the Angels signed, Hamilton, because there was stupid talk that the Yankees were going to go after them. Thank God, because they are stupid. Thank God they didn't sign him. I'm sorry for the Angels, but guys, the time of baseball teams saying that they cannot afford it, gentlemen, cut that out. That is such a lie now. This, and I'm going to ask you guys to backstop me on it, but this next contract is basically going to give $40 million per team per year. Right now, $40 million.
I can't backstop you because I don't necessarily know about that situation.
How is it that all of a sudden the Mariners are going on a spending spree? Their base didn't go up. They didn't sign any more foreign players attracting foreign audiences. Yes, that was a slur. I mean, come on. Why? Because this next television deal is so huge, guys. Please. Anyone who makes the argument that teams cannot afford it anymore, nah. There are no small market teams anymore. How is it that everyone is catching up to the Yankees now? Think about it. Look at the monies that are being spent, and look at the fact that the Yankees are actually tending to have a budget. Guys, the Houston assholes choose to be the Houston assholes because they are now, they have a huge cash cow, which is all profit, baby. And the fans keep showing up. And you plead, we can't compete.
Are they showing up, though, in Houston?
I don't know. Are they?
Hell no.
I don't think they are. I mean, just off the top of my head, I think they had probably the third or fourth worst attendance in the major leagues last year.
Yeah, I wonder why.
They suck.
And how about you? You talked about the $40 million their scorekeeper and the Mets. They go ahead and they take advantage of it. They take Curtis Granderson away from you guys over there in Yankee pinstripes for who? The Mets pinstripes. How about that? Big news there or not?
Good for the Mets. I like Curtis Granderson. I think he's a good player. He is actually, believe it or not, a bomber. But I don't mean a New York bomber. Guy hits home runs at a prodigious rate. And when you look at the number of home runs he's hit over the last 4 years, he leads all of baseball. It's cool. His RBIs are there. This guy is a machine when it comes to scoring runs and hitting them in. But there's a little bit of a problem with Curtis Granderson. His average is dropping significantly. He gets on base. He does well, but his averages, he has gone from the fine leadoff hitter to a home run hitter. And that's okay. Good for him. He went from a homer-friendly park to a not-so-homer-friendly park. Good luck, Curtis Granderson. I loved you as a Yankee. I'm still going to respect you. But now you're with the Mets. And then the first thing you say when you go to the Mets,
well, I understand that real baseball fans are Mets fans.
Did you actually say that, Curtis Granderson? Did you really say that, Curtis Granderson?
I'm actually in shock that he said it.
I mean, Curtis, you know, I loved you, but now guess what? You have a 10-cent dime in that head. Or maybe you have a 9-cent dime. I don't know. But guys, you know, good luck for them. I mean, why do they have to slam their team on their... I mean, were you really that unhappy, Curtis, with the Yankees? Really? Really? Oh, my God. Well, you know what? Good for you. Maybe you're talking trash, trying to get a rivalry going. Way to go, Curtis. But we just found out you don't have a dime in your head. You have a you have a centavo in your head. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, Mets. Mets fans and Tanya. No, Tanya Mercado. I love her, but man, I can't stand Mets fans.
Yeah, well,
I'm not,
Tanya. You know, as a personal comment, Tanya, you guys know her. She's awesome. She's a beauty, and she's got brains, and she's a Star Trek fan. Damn it, she's a Star Trek fan.
Well, the problem is, the only problem with that is that she's not a football fan.
He watches it, passion. She's actually trying to get that passion for football to be able to talk about it as much. But, yeah, that might be her fault. But her major fault, she's a Mets fan. Tanya, I'm sorry, kiddo. But, hey, I admire your verve. I admire your desire to follow your team. But come on, Tanya, come join a winner. We'd love to have you as a Yankee.
She is not going to become a Yankee fan. As much as you want that to happen, scorekeeper, not going to happen.
Well, you know, guys, during the early part of the last decade, and even during the 2000s, I was telling a lot of people when the Yankees were just constantly good and constantly doing well, that I would reach out to hard luck fans. And this is a shot to my buddy Fausto, 1st Marine Division, Operation Desert Storm, and he's now in Las Vegas, just turned 43. I've been so desperate to get Fausto on this program. He is my version of Cuervo. I didn't mean to say it that way, but he is. I would love to have him on, and like I say, he's in Vegas. He's a Dodger fan, a long-suffering Dodger fan, so I would go to him over the last few years and say, hey, dude, I can tell that you're not feeling well, and I know that you're taking heart that the Dodgers aren't doing very well. Why don't you just, dude, why don't you just put that all aside, and why don't you come on over to our
join
side?
The dark side. Join the dark side.
First, hold on. First, he's like, what are you talking about? I've known you since 1985. What side are you talking about? I'm like, calm down, dude. I'm not talking about that side. I'm talking about the joy of life, being able to rest and relax and know that someone is looking out for you. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, dude, think about it. When you look at the aspect of sports, there's one team that cares about its fans because they're always spending money to do the best to try to make their team competitive. And you're never biatching, you're never complaining about a losing team. And they're always putting out for them. And, you know, and I'm starting to reel them in. I'm like, dude, your life will be better. Become a Yankee. I swear to God, we were at Sizzlers, and I think I had about 18 shrimp in my face. I did. Because I'm like, dude, enjoy life. Be a Yankee fan. Everyone will hate you for it. Yeah. And
babe, how can we make you happy?
How can we make you happy, yes. Oh, my God.
So
yeah, I don't know. That's not going to happen. Tanya is not going to become a Yankee fan. It's not going to happen. So, but more news in Major League Baseball. Oakland A's, they get a couple of signings, avoided arbitration with their first baseman Barton by signing a 1-year deal for him. Bat 269. 16 RBIs in 37 games for the A's. So they grab him up. Also, Pedro, is that Fiegua? 3-4, 4.10 ERA in 46 appearances with Sacramento in 2013. And also the A's claim catcher Jimenez off of the waivers from Tampa Bay. I think that's a good, you know, good pickup for them, and they'll probably use him backing up in their catching position over there. So, they're set as far as the A's are concerned, and the Cincinnati Reds, they go ahead and they have announced that they have signed 10 players to the minor league contracts. Chinmanwah, Corky Miller, and Burgess are some of the names that they are talking about. And say what you want about that. Wang went 1-for-2 playing for your Yankees, their scorekeeper at one point. And so, and then there's, some other news as far as Cincinnati's concerned. Not much, though, in reality. But when you take a look at the Reds last year, their scorekeeper, the last couple of years they've actually been competitive. What do you think about the Yankees? What do you think about the Reds?
I mean, are we having a good time? Are you trying to piss me off this morning by talking about the Reds?
I'm just trying to make you happy, you know?
Talk about a pathetic waste of time, guys. I would gladly be a Braves fan. I would gladly be a Mets fan quicker than a Reds fan. I mean, talk about a colossal, pathetic waste of... I'd be an Astro fan long before I'd be a Reds fan. Because, guys, the Reds are pathetic. Management is pathetic. And it's just their fans are even more so. I tell you, I have nothing for that fan base. Guys, when you are... And this is going out to everyone. Ladies and gentlemen and shims, guys, girls and shims, when you are depressed and you want to take it out on someone, just go find a Reds fan. Or better yet, go to a Reds fan base. And you are going to be so disgusted by what you hear in the Reds fan base. I love going to Reds fan base, especially during the season. This is a typical Reds conversation. Hey, guys, did you know that on every Tuesday in a month that has a letter A in it, The Reds are the best team in the universe because they are like 3-4, guys, better than everyone else. And did you know that since April 16th until April 18th, they were the hottest team in baseball? The Reds, yay, number one! Like, they're assholes. They're stupid. and they look on everyone else as being just like not even in their league. And the only thing I want to say to the Reds fan is, where did you guys finish the playoffs? Where did you finish the season? And then a Reds fan will just look at you like a robot.
Does not compute. Does not compute. Destroy him. He is not of Reds Nation. Destroy him.
And all they're going to come back and say,
but your team sucks.
That's the typical Reds response. You suck. Not your team, but you suck. Guys, when you're depressed and when you're not feeling well and you want to go mess with idiots, just go find any Reds bulletin board and just talk about on how good the Reds are. And you'll find out that there really are crazies in the world.
And we left, and I left that one wide open for you there, scorekeeper, to go out. I'm easing him back in so he can get his cadence after being away. He needed that this morning. So I fed him a Reds story to talk about. So in reality,
well,
though,
what about Brian? What is Brian?
I don't know.
About
that's what I was already do. Brian, what do you think about the Reds? Oh. just as we went to him, he dropped. Just as we went to him, he dropped. So, yep. So, yeah, I'm not necessarily a Red fan. Just by listening to scorekeeper, you know, I can't be a Red fan. So that
Sonny
that
Clark,
something about his influence.
Sonny, let me tell you, I would rather be a Cowboy fan than a Red fan.
Oh, man, that's bad.
but you know what? Look, guys, Jerry Jones, you know, the man has faults. But let me tell you guys, I don't know anyone who would not trade their life to be Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah, without question.
Yeah, enough said there. If people tell me to F off, then they're not getting what I'm trying to say. And you know what? Screw them. They must be Reds fans.
So, yeah. And speaking of the Cowboys, Sean Lee is out for the game against the Redskins. Yes, we took a quick turn because I ran out of Major League Baseball news. But getting to the Cowboys, Sean Lee, he is out, middle linebacker, for the game against the Redskins. And this is a game that the Cowboys need. And not having their guy out on the football field, Sean Lee missed the game last week against the Green Bay Packers that they lost, which they really needed and should not have lost. 99 tackles, 4 interceptions in 11 games this season. And wide receiver Dwayne Harris, he's got a hammy. So he has been ruled out for Sunday's game, along with Ernie Sims with a groin injury, and Morris Claiborne with a hamstring is listed as doubtful for the Dallas Cowboys, as well as Terrence Williams and defensive end Jarius Wayne. They're questionable. And so the Dallas Cowboys missing a lot of, you know, cogs in reality when you think about where they are and the vital situation they are. If the Cowboys lose this game on Sunday and the Eagles beat the Bears, the Cowboys will be out of the playoffs before Week 17, and before that showdown in Dallas means anything, the Cowboys are going to have to beat Washington. And right now, with that depleted defense, I'm worried about the no, I'm not worried about it, but I don't think the Dallas Cowboys even make it to Week 17 with the chance to make the playoffs. Scorekeeper.
Okay, Sonny, first of all, I want to thank you for all the information on Dallas Cowboys. But, Sonny, I was only kidding. I am not a Cowboy fan. I don't think I could ever be a Cowboy fan. And when you started talking about the Cowboys and giving the analysis, this is how desperate I became, Sonny. I'm in my garage, and I started the car. So I am prepared to commit suicide if we continue to talk. Just kidding, pal. Actually, I turned on the car because it got cold. I got to put the heater on.
Well, why don't we do this, scorekeeper? hey, scorekeeper, I don't know if anybody expected it. Why don't we coast? You go defrost in the house, and then we kick it up over on the Couch Potato Sports Show.
What do you mean? You mean like right now, just end the program?
Well, I mean, I can't have you freezing or sitting in a parked car in a garage, you know, that some people might take that as, you know, as a sign of something's wrong.
Well, you know, I'm not homeless anymore, folks. That's over and done with. I'm just letting you know that if you hear stuff in the background, I just put the car to go on for the heat just a little bit because it's, you know, now I got used to the cold. Now it got cold. It's like, oh, geez. So I'm just going to put it on for about 5 minutes.
Well, why don't you drive somewhere for a little bit instead of sitting in a parked car? Why don't you drive a little bit?
Well, how is the sound right now, Sonny? Can you hear the car in the background?
I can't hear it, but you're still in a parked car in a garage.
Yeah, but I'm only going to put it on for a few minutes anyway. Don't you need like 20 minutes to commit suicide?
No.
Hey, you know what?
I'm not an expert. I just know it's not a good idea.
Hey, I'm not an expert either, folks, but, you know, I'm going to open the garage door to let them. Well, no, that's going to defeat the damn purpose. Hey, Sonny, let me open the door so I can, like, well, wait a minute. It's cold outside.
Yeah. So take a drive, go up and get some coffee or something. That's what I would do. My goodness, out in the garage.
I need to go get some sugar, quite frankly.
And you need to get a heater.
Well, you know what? I'm pissed because I saw the heater last night in my friend's garage, and I looked at it. Heater? I don't need no stinking
heater.
How
far are you away from your friend's house?
I'm sorry?
How far are you away from your friend's house?
Oh, I'm not driving over there right now. It's about 25 miles away.
Oh,
but
wow.
I am going
to
my friend's house to go and pick up some more stuff today, and that'll be the last run for the weekend. I'm actually going to make the move on Monday because I found out that U-Haul is cheaper during the week.
I didn't necessarily know that. I just thought they were outrageous at all given times. That's why I use Penske.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a Penske near me, but you're right, Sonny. They are outrageous, so they are less outrageous on certain days of the week. And for me, it's just all about miles.
Oh, yeah, it's
all about miles. I'm
going to
move on
miles.
Monday. Yeah, and I'm just going to put everything in the truck. That's why I'm making these smaller trips. I made a trip, two trips yesterday. I filled up the van. For those of you on my Facebook page, you can see how disgustingly I filled up the van. I mean, there was, Sonny, I felt like those guys you see driving on the roadway where they've got everything in their cars and there's only a space for them to sit and that's it. That's what I did. So, but I forgot the stinking heater. Oh, so it's okay. You know what? The car's off now, Sonny. So it's okay. I just
there
wanted to put it on for just a quick moment.
So
can
it,
someone help us? Help us, please. Let us know how many minutes it takes to commit suicide in a garage.
Yeah, so that's up there on the top in case we ever need it later on in life, you know.
Well, the reason why I brought that up is because you were continuing about the Cowboys. Like,
oh, geez, yeah, I understand. I understand. I hear Cowboys and my NFL brain kicks in, so it's, you know, the way it is. Yeah, and by the way, you were definitely packed up really well, which is kind of interesting. I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I know who I'm talking to. I noticed a box in your car there, a box of cherries.
What?
A box of cherries. Well, I don't know if there's cherries in it or you. It looks like there might be books in that box. Is box of cherries?
Oh. Actually, the van's empty now. We actually, that was funny, Sonny. That was good.
Yeah, I was like, were you driving down the street and you're driving down the street and you know, and decided to hit up the guys on the side of the street. I that's what I thought. I was like, well, they must have just needed a snack.
That's funny. Actually, those boxes are from Costco.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, those boxes are from Costco because we buy prodigiously or prodigious. Well, you guys know the word. We spend a lot at Costco, and we were able to use a lot of those boxes, Sonny, to make our move. And
absolutely.
It did come in handy. And I'm looking outside at the boxes. And by the way, folks, I will give you, I mean, now our garage is full. It's full of stuff. I think I did take pictures of it when it was empty. But I'm going to be showing before and after pictures of the office. And again, to answer Sonny's question on Facebook, is that the new NDB Media headquarters? You bet damn right it is, baby. And Sonny, it is a lot warmer in this garage than our other garage, because even though the garage was attached to the house and it had a ceiling on it, on half of it where we were, it still was open to the outside. So there was wind that would come in regularly. So those Saturday mornings when the big dog and I were doing our program, if we were pissy, it was cold.
He had winter coats, you know, in the room just in case. You never know.
Yes.
Or, you know,
No. We did it. We did it. But, Sonny, because we would talk so much, it would actually warm up.
Is that good? Is that good thing?
So by the end of the program.
By the way, we are missing the big dog this morning.
Yes, and I did not know this. He did tell me that he would be unavailable on Friday, and, oh, God, it's still 39 degrees. on his Facebook page, he went again to Simi Valley with his buddy. I guess they were at the wrestling stuff, and I guess he's still asleep because they finished near midnight.
Yeah, probably didn't. Probably was unable to make it in this morning. So,
I was just going to tell you that it shows up. He was at the pro wrestling Here it is. He's with his friend Jason Jackson at Pro Wrestling Gorilla in Reseda. He's here with Richard and George, waiting for the start of All Star Weekend Night Number One.
I know he was talking about just a couple months ago about the new wrestling thing that he found. So, and I think that's the one he was talking about. So, yeah, I saw that yesterday as well as he was making his way over to the. As a matter of fact, I saw that when I got home from calling the basketball game. So you're right. He probably crashed out and is getting his extra sleep that he needs. So,
where's Cuervo? Where the hell's Cuervo?
Cuervo dropped out of the chat room. But sometimes you're not able to. Yeah, sometimes Blog Talk Radio is not. So he might be listening, but we're not seeing him in the chat room. But because bowed out, I know Tarvino is in the chat room because he made a comment about the Dallas Cowboys. He said the Cowboys are undefeated in division play when they end with Washington and Philly. They should win both and make the playoffs, Sonny. Don't think so. The Dallas Cowboys are one of these teams. I mean, Washington and Philly, and they are
sorry.
You see that?
I just saw the picture. I just saw it. It must be a box of cherries. Well, if you look closely at the box of cherries, my jacket is on top of it, but it's all videos. They're all DVDs. But that's funny.
Oh, I thought they were books. Yeah, okay.
It is. Actually, Sonny, very good, Mr. Clark. On the picture, the first two items there are books, and the rest are all DVDs. That's an evil eye. Wow.
Hey, got my glasses on this morning, huh? You know?
No kidding. Well done, Sonny.
Definitely.
But Cuervo is in the chat room, yes. And
well, he was, and he dropped out. I don't know if he's back in the chat room or not. I do know that Tarvin is there as well as Matt Alvarez, the host of the Sports Opinion Show on Friday afternoons, which I usually give a listen to because I never can get it live on Saturday afternoon as I'm doing my chores.
Yeah, Matt Alvarez. Good stuff. I've only been able to sneak in listens from time to time. And Matt, I got to tell you, every now and then I did call in a special. Oh, and you know what? Very quickly, this is basically my return to radio today. I want to thank everyone, really, both of my sports audience and both of my regular audience. Not that this is the regular audience, but I want to thank everyone for the support that I have received from everyone and that we as a family have received over the last few months. Zeke, and I have news on Zeke, which I'll be talking about next Tuesday, but it's been hard, Sonny. There's been a lot of crap that's been going our way. But
well, give us an update on your daughter.
She's home. She's resting. As you know, she has her own room now. So she's loving life. She's still getting tired quickly. I mean, she had major surgery, no doubt about it. You know? And she's doing well, though. She's in excellent spirits. And she's getting there because of all the love and the support she's been receiving from everyone. People that I never expected to comment, to like the post, were doing so. And every time I had major news for Giselle, her phone was beeping off the hook. Because every time someone would comment or like it, her phone would move and she would notice it. And that's what I want to thank everyone. Even those comments, the phone calls, the little likes, every time we got those, she would know of it, and it helped her improve. Ah! Someone opened the door. I think my wife came to see if I committed suicide. Hold on. Sí, prendí el carro, pero no hice suicidio, I was going to say, no hice. And she's smiling like, yeah, whatever, you loser, you couldn't even do that right. Because she waved her hand off like, yeah, whatever, you loser. But she just came in the garage right now to come and get some stuff. It is still 43 degrees, Sonny. It's cold.
Yeah, it's cold. It's cold in the garage.
No.
But we are here on, hey,
it's
regardless, we're still
degrees.
Here on Sports Talk with the guys.
Yeah, no, Sonny, it got colder. It's now 39 degrees. Woman. Why the hell did you? I'm looking in the back mirror, the rear view mirror of my car,
mm-hmm.
and I want to go out and harm someone. She left the door open.
Saul Walters has just checked into the chat room. Saul, we have on scorekeeper, and we need to get an update on NASCAR.
We need to get it because I think the schedule just came out. But
yeah,
let me finish real quick with Matt Alvarez. Matt, I love you, brother. I appreciate the support you gave us. And I love – what I was trying to say is that I would sneak in. My phone was blocked, but I would listen in to Matt Alvarez while the program was on because sometimes that's all I had to listen to when I was in the ICU or just in the hospital. And I would call in and listen to all the programs. I called in the Sunnies. I called – but I would block my number so you couldn't see them. Because I couldn't talk. I was in the hospital, you know, with my daughter. But Solomon Walters, all of you know, I went to school with the guy. I've known him since 1983. Notice, Sonny, most of my relationships, they're long, dude.
Yeah, big long. Hey, by the way, Matt Alvarez wanted me to say that. Roger and I were not sure if we were going to be on today. So yesterday he said on his show on behalf of NDB Media, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. So he wanted me to let you know he said that on the show for you because we didn't know if we were going to be on. And Solomon Walters says, you're the only one for me, baby.
Oh, there is so much truth to that, but I'll leave it at that.
That's love.
A little bit of trivia For those of you that know and don't know, obviously, you know, my – oh, I almost said his name. But Solomon Walters and I, we have known each other for the longest time, and I'm not going to give all the details, but we met in the summer of 1983, and the school that we went to, I was the first classmate he met, and he was the first classmate I met. And I think it's kind of neat that we still, 30 years later.
Wow.
Wow. 30 years later, we're still buds. And Solomon and I have
only
known each other longer. I'm sorry?
I only know two people from high school, my ex-wife, and one of my friends from high school. You have developed some long-term relationships. I don't know if I'm capable of that kind of relationship with people I don't know very well. So, you know, that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Well, I mean, the people that you listen to on the radio program, I've known for a long time. But as Solomon says, I'm the only one for him, baby. He's the only one for me, too. I've known him since then, and the school that we went to was a private school, so we were lucky. We were able to establish, you know, the friendship, the brotherhood, and I'm better off because of it. Saul! Damn! I gave it away. Saul Walters is a good human being. He's a good guy, and I'm privileged to know him. And I love when he comes on air. And hopefully we'll get him on for a little bit of NASCAR. But anyway, we're going to continue. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that don't know, Mr. Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports, is going to be starting officially probably his 899 million episode, but his 800th live. In
800th live,
right?
Yep, that's coming up in a half hour. We're going to kick it off, and we're going to just be talking sports. I got just a couple of files, and you're involved with one of the files as well as I don't want to give that away because I only got two files that I'm going to play because we're just going to do what we normally do, which is talk football, talk sports. And, you know, so we'll spend a little time on the 800th show, but mostly we're going to be talking about sports and what's going on in the sporting world.
By the way, Sonny, let me interrupt real quick. For those of you that missed Matt Alvarez's anniversary program, it was actually very well done. I got to tell you, Matt really did his homework. But and he was replaying some spots over the years, especially over the last year, and there was one that he picked up. I don't know if it was from the couch potato or if it was from my program, but we went to town on Matt, and I couldn't believe he played that one on his program. That was so funny.
It was on your show. I remember it because I remember situation when he played it. I thought to myself immediately, I was like, he got that from Sports Talk with the guys because you guys are bashing them almost every Saturday morning. So today's just a little bit probably something he's not used to because we're not bashing them. We're giving, as Scorekeeper would say, blowing him some love here this morning.
Oh, wow. You took the words out of my mouth. Hey, Matt, I'm going to say it again, dude. If we do make fun of you in that way, dude, we love you, man. We love you. We figure we can get away with it.
We love you, man.
Oh, my God, that is so true. We love you, man.
I love you, man.
Well done,
Matt says, he says you and Saul met what the year he was born. So, you know, so that's huge. And he's had a friend since third grade. The only friend that I have is when I was a junior in high school. And that was my wife and my one friend from high school. I don't know anybody else before that or what they're doing, mainly because I've taken too many shots in the head. I can't even remember who the hell they are. So that's one of the things there. So,
The one final shot I want to take at my wife is I'm looking at the rearview mirror, and now, to quote that song, blinded by the light because I'm getting sunlight, and it's open to the outside, and it's not 43 degrees anymore, Sonny. For some reason, it gets colder. It is now 39 degrees.
Well, she's opening up the door, so.
Well, you got son of a, you just got, oh, my God.
All right.
It's cold. It is
yeah,
as cold as
cold.
The witches.
You need a blanket.
Bleep, bleep.
You need a blanket. My wife, you know, she's always a cold.
I'm going to put my jacket on.
Person. Yeah, my wife is a cold person, and she works the middle of the night. So we have two heaters next to her. She puts on a sweatshirt and sweatpants, and we turn the heat up in the house, and she's still sitting over there. It's cold. I'm freezing. So I don't know.
You know, fall.
It's like a freaking sauna in this house all the time.
Yeah, and it's fall, and I probably get along with her for that reason. Saul knows my wife very well, and he might be laughing if he's heard the whole conversation. Saul, I'm sure he'll probably call my wife a saint, and but Saul, she's making
well,
me freeze, dude.
How long has she been married to you?
Well, I don't know who I've been married to longer, whether it's Saul or to my wife.
There you go. I mean,
I've been married to my wife. Sonny, come June, it's been 21 years.
And how long did you know her before you married her?
Months. It happened fast. I met her in August. Yeah, here's the timeline. I met her in August of 1992. I asked her to be my girlfriend about a week after, and then I asked her to marry me on a day that has now become a national day of tragedy. No, not me asking my wife to marry her, but I asked her to marry me on September 11th. And it's, you know, we
always
celebrated.
That's a whirlwind.
Yeah, it was very much whirlwind. I officially asked for her hand in marriage traditionally on October 31st. We got that one right.
On Halloween.
And, and then we married on June 12th the following year. So it was under a year, and we've been married ever since. So come June, I will be married 21 years, but I've known her for about 22. But I'm trying to tell Saul that he's probably laughing because he knows how my wife is. He knows. I mean, you know, they get along very well. They do. But Mike, I was in the van doing okay, and then she comes over to start moving things out of the garage and leaves the door wide open. That's messed up. Now it's colder in here.
It's
so
probably your hint to help get off your ass and help her with the house.
Well, you know what? I've been – that's true, Sonny, but I have been motioning to her, and, you know, she's like, no, it's okay, it's cool. But I don't know if you heard – when I spoke to her in Spanish, I said, no, are things okay? And she gave me that gesture of like, shut up. That's when I made the joke. Dude, you don't even know how to commit suicide. Get the hell out of here.
I have not been able to, let's see, I'm going to put it in the trusty search engine, is how long does it take commit suicide
Matt,
in a
help us
car
out.
In a garage. Boom.
Yeah. Help us out. How long does it take to commit suicide?
Well, with it's all about carbon monoxide, so that's
right.
Pretty much what it is. Scorekeeper, you.
What?
Okay, according to this, okay, the enclosed space could be sealed. Okay, and what it says is estimated time of death is in between 5 and 15 minutes, and it doesn't matter if the air is in the enclosed space or not. That's why you hear about people dying of carbon monoxide just within their house. They didn't know it even happened. It's exposure to carbon monoxide. So you have to be very careful how long you leave that car on. Oh, my God.
Holy crap. I only turned it on for 3 minutes.
15 minutes.
Holy
even if you're in an area that has a good oxygen supply, If carbon monoxide is part of it, you could pass away within 5 to 15 minutes of exposure. So, yeah,
well,
thank you,
ladies and gentlemen,
the internet and the search button.
Well, that was pretty stupid on my behalf. Hey, Steel City Storm, congratulations. They're usually visiting your program, Sonny. They always bring a great football commentary, but it's always a thrill when they come join us this early in the morning. So thanks, pal. Thanks for joining us. Well, you know why? And hockey, yeah. It's because there is no one else on, Sonny, at this hour. Because we beat the crap out of all of them.
We're the only ones crazy enough to be up right now doing the show. But we say it all the time. Shows have come and gone on a Saturday morning. We have been the only one consistent on Saturday morning at this time doing 5 hours on Blog Talk Radio. Everybody else is either A, asleep. But that's one of the reasons why I started doing the show. If you've ever driven around, I used to get in my car, and whether it's going to the store or, you know, taking a trip someplace that I had to do for work, and listen to talk radio, and all we hear about on Saturday morning is golf or how to get a better rate on real estate. Or, you know, crap like that. I'm like, wait a second. Whatever happened to sports talk radio? Jeez Louise.
And what happened to real sports talk radio? Because now, with all these conglomerates, you really can't say anything, Sonny. I remember, and, you know, I want to ask Steel City Storm, want to ask Matt, and, of course, want to ask Saul. I remember 10, 15 years ago, stuff like that, that when you called in after a game, I know the commentators were part of the team, but they would actually share their opinions with you. And they would tell you, No, I think you're wrong, and whatever. And it was an awesome interplay. Now, when you call in after the game, they can't say anything.
Yeah, toting the line.
That's
what sports talk radio, and that's the reason why Blog Talk Radio is so great. We don't have anybody like ESPN, Fox, or any of the major networks breathing down your throat to push their agenda or say what they want to. That's why I very rarely listen to, you know, unless I'm in the car, I will, and I do this all of the time, I actually bring episodes from Blog Talk Radio sports talk shows with me to listen to more so than wanting to listen to ESPN. I cannot tell you how long it's been since I've listened to ESPN. Because they push their agenda, they push what they want you to hear, more so than what the people want to hear. And talk radio, sports talk radio, what happened to the guys calling in? By the way, 347-637-2306 here on Sports Talk with the Guys. So, but they don't even take calls anymore. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I don't like listening to sports talk radio. I love listening to other people's opinions outside of mine.
I think that's why we do it as well, hardest working man. There's no doubt that is why we do it, and we're fortunate because of it. And another thing, Sonny, the reason why we have, and I say this unabashedly, kicked the crap out of everyone else on Saturday morning is because programs, we have our point of views, and we admit that we can be wrong, we can be full of it, but we listen to other people, and, you know, we take something up, and we talk about it. We don't call people Okay, well, maybe I can't say that, but, yeah, we do call people stupid. Well, at least I do. But we listen to the opinions, and we'll say whether we agree or not and why we don't agree, unlike other programs. And
yeah,
and
they follow that agenda.
Yeah, and you know, even our competitors, which we've kicked the crap out of every Saturday. I mean, let me tell you, Sonny, about 4 months ago, a featured channel went on opposite us that was part of a network. And I was like, man, okay.
SB, wasn't it SB?
I think so. And now they're gone.
Yep. Not
I mean,
Saturday
I haven't
morning
checked
anymore.
Lately. But they went on opposite us for a few weeks, and then they disappeared. I'm like, yeah, get the hell out of here, you morons. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, because you... it's not going to happen for you here today, or at least on Saturday mornings. And I'm looking right now at the shows that are coming that are live. Of course, Sports Talk with the Guys, they're live. And I'm looking at them. We're the only two shows that are on live right now, and it's a new show called The Balance. Never heard of it. So that's what's going on. As far as sports are concerned, there are other shows, obviously, but sports shows, there are only two live, this one and The Balance. Like I said,
well,
that's a new show. So
let me, if that's a sports show, here's what I'm going to tell the guys in The Balance. Guys, good luck. I wish you guys well, but the reality is, and I'm proud of saying this, if you want to stick around and have an audience, you got to suck it up and show up every Saturday, and you got to be there. And if you're willing to make that commitment, your listeners will make the commitment. And that's all. That's all. Hey, you know, I wish them the best. I don't want anyone to fail. But when they rip us, oh, you guys can go to hell, and I'm going to be pushing the handbasket.
And here's the thing. I'm looking at the rest of the schedule. There's only one show that is on regularly when my show's on, and that's Slamhead Saturdays. And they're always on a Saturday morning. So, but the rest of them. Oh, the Gridiron Chiefs or Chef. What is it? Chefs. The Gridiron Chefs are on an hour after we kick off. So, but the rest of them, they're all new shows, and they don't usually last very long. So, it's kind of nice to control the airwaves on a Saturday morning here. On Blog Talk Radio, it's part of the best five-hour block of sports talk on Saturday morning. And we're here each and every week. And at least we tried to be there. I will say that we're here at least 95% of the time. And then, of course, we on the couch to take the handoff from Sports Talk with the Guys at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. So it's good stuff that's going on.
News.
We've got about 13 minutes left to go in the show, my friend.
Yeah, big news. Sonny Clark, 800th live episode in a few minutes,
yep.
In about 12 to 13 minutes. So I can't wait to be a part of that. Again, I want to welcome everyone listening both live and in the archive, and it's a really good stuff. You guys want to call in, just go ahead. But if not, we're the warm-up. Wow. I am a warm-up show for the 800th episode. How cool is that? I never thought I'd be a warm-up for anyone. Hell, I don't think I'm even a warm-up for my wife.
We need that. I mean, and I lost all my sound bites, too, which really sucks. My sound bites that I used to have. I used to have so many sound bites. It was unbelievable.
I know. Yeah,
and,
out of order, too.
Yeah,
this is Sonny Clark's switchboard. I love it. And it drives me insane just because it's against my anal nature. This is Sonny Clark's soundboard.
Yeah. My soundboard's nuts.
Dash announcement. And then the next one, AAA. And then the one after that, AAA intro. AAA rock intro. AAA show intro.
So I can find them.
What the hell is that crap?
So I can find them. They're either at the top or bottom if they're important for that day. That's usually the way it is. And then I never delete them afterward.
Going through Sonny Clark's switchboard for me is an intellectual minefield that drives me into such a quandary that I get nervous and I start perspiring. And I'm like, who the hell is Sonny Clark? He needs order to his life.
Good Lord. You sound like my wife.
Sorry.
Some order. But, yeah, the show's about ready to kick off here in about 10 minutes. And, you know, we'll be covering all the, you know, we'll cover a little bit about the 800th show and stuff. Obviously, it's a big thing as far as what the Couch Potato Sports Show does. So that's always nice. But at the same time, we still got sports to talk about. We got, week 15 of the NFL is tomorrow, and it's a big, big week because a lot of spaces in the playoffs are going to be determined tomorrow, and then week 17, the final one or two spots in the playoffs will be determined as well. So we got two more weeks of the NFL, and then we get into the playoffs, and then we move right into IFL football, so it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to Sonny doing that stuff, and I got to tell you, it's fun. It's fun knowing what's coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of football going on, both college and professional stuff, and I'm looking forward to this next one. Now, there is a little bit of news that I think I want to do take away from the Cash Potato. And this is some commentary that we've been hearing about John Gruden. Apparently, Rich Gannon has been stating that John Gruden has the desire to get back into coaching. So I don't know if anyone has caught this, but apparently John Gruden was, especially with the last coaching change that took place mid-season, they asked John Gruden, Dude, you got to get back into it. And he famously said, no, I'm going to remain here as an analyst. I love what I'm doing. And, you know, that's the way it is. But now Rich Gannon is going back a step further and saying, guys, he's towing the company line. But the reality is, this is the man. This is one of the best candidates out there. And, you know, hey, he should go to the Houston Texans. I don't know, Sonny. You tell me.
Well, Houston was talking to Lovie Smith, and I don't know how really worked. Yeah, they were talking to Lovie Smith, so I don't know how that really works with Wade Phillips' defense and everything else that, as far as that part is concerned. I don't know, because when you look at that situation as far as, You know, Houston and how bad they are, and John Gruden, and this is just one of the things that I also read upon. According to what I hear, there's a 95% chance that John Gruden is going to be listed as one of the candidates for the Houston Texans job. His name has come up as far as the University of Houston job, but Jimbo Fisher is also in a front line for that one. So, but Gruden, you're right, I don't know. I mean, the guy makes a lot of money just doing nothing. And being a head coach in the NFL, it's a stressful thing. I think it would be worse in college because then you have to add on recruiting. But then, you know, I don't know. But, you know, he is definitely a candidate as far as what it is concerned. And you're right, Rich Gannon, who played under Gruden for three seasons in Oakland, and also, you know, he's the one that is pushing around saying, yeah, he's going to be interested. But I don't think Chucky's going anywhere. I think he's part of the mothership over there at ESPN.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this is, as of December 20th, quote, I've had conversations with John in the past. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibilities, Gannon told KGNZ-FM in the Bay Area when the subject of Gruden returning to Oakland came up. CBS Sports NFL insider Jason LaCanfora also mentioned the possibility of Gruden returning to Oakland in November. See, what Gannon said, I don't think violated a trust, because Gannon said, hey, he's had conversations with him in the past, and it looks like he would be interested. He didn't say Gannon wants out of ESPN to go and coach. And I appreciate that from Gannon. I actually like listening to Gannon. He's got some good stuff. But, Sonny, I'm going to switch gears. On ESPN, talk about towing the company line. When all this was going on with the Houston Texans about 2 weeks ago, and they were talking about the coaching replacement and who was going to replace him, one of the guys said, and this is why I had a mother effing cow. The guy said, this was ESPN analyst. It was one of the group of the guys. He said, the Houston Texans are a great organization. And I just stopped. I said,
well,
a great
I
organization?
They're getting better. I mean, as far as production out on the football. football field player. I don't know much about their front office.
Definition of a great organization? What did that stupid bozo mean by a great organization? And here's another thing, Sonny, and this is not a shot against Nelson Mandela. I love Nelson Mandela, and I respect and admire him. Oh, and all of you guys can all go to hell, because Nelson Mandela is a self-proclaimed Yankee fan. So bite me.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, he did. Remember, Sonny, when he came over to New York, or when he came to America in the 90s, before he was elected president, he came to New York, and everyone went to visit him at Yankee Stadium. He was going to do a talk. And he pulled out a Yankee cap, and he put it on, and he says, I am a Yankee!
That's embarrassing.
That was funny. That was great. But anyway, when Nelson Mandela passed away, they were talking about him as an icon. And, you know, everyone was saying icon, and I'm screaming at the TV saying, you stupid idiot! You morons! You don't even know what the hell an icon is. Look up the word icon, you imbecilic morons! The word icon does not apply to Nelson Mandela, and quite frankly, you illiterate idiot, it doesn't apply in the manner that you're trying to use it. And this is at CNN, this is Fox, these are the sports channels. These are idiots. They don't even know what the word icon means. And they try to bastardize it in their illiteracy of their commentary when they have nothing to say. They use the word icon. Oh my God! They don't even know what the word icon means. They don't. No one does apparently. How is this? Look it up, you morons. I'm done. Go ahead, Sonny.
I was going to say, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
Yeah, I mean, Sonny. Everyone was using the word icon, and I was like, you moron! Look up the word! And they were all bastardizing the word because they didn't know what to say. It was unbelievable.
Go.
Look up the word, you morons. You'll never use Nelson Mandela, and icon in the same sentence again. You bunch of, oh, there's only one word I want to say, which begins with an R. But then I'm insulting all of those kids that are that way, because even they're not that stupid.
Oh, that's a great way to finish the show.
Hell yeah, Sonny. Let's get it done, baby.
That's what it's got to do.
Sonny,
and actually, yeah.
Don't tell me you used the word icon and Nelson Mandela. Please, don't tell me you did.
I can't say that I have, and I
good
can't
man.
Say-
Don't.
I know what Mandela's all about, but you know he passed away. I thought about it for about 10 minutes and then I forgot about it. So that's the way you kind of work.
You know, and just to be a party pooper, and I emphasize the word pooper. When we go over to the couch potato, I will have the definition of icon, just because I'm tired of all of you morons out there. I mean, you guys don't know what the word icon is, and I'm not going to let it go because you're stupid, Sonny. Let's end this program so we can go
you
to
got
your
it, my
program,
friend.
Brother.
I'm already
right, guys.
Logged in, at least on Skype, so we'll see you over there on the Couch Potato Sports Show.
See you in a minute, Sonny. All right, guys, I'm going to finish this program. Oh, no, Sonny, before you go, end this program, please.
All right, I will end the program, so that's going to do – I will do it then for him, and so we're out of here. So head on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show. We'll entertain you at least for a couple more hours.
Oh, we'll do it. See you guys. Peace!
We are out. Bye-bye. Everybody take care. We'll see you on the Couch Potato Sports Show.